We read in John 19 of the crucifixion of Christ, of Pilate's handing over Christ to be crucified, and of the soldiers taking him and crucifying him. So I want to draw your attention this morning to what you'll read in verse 19 of John 19 about the superscription, the title which was put above the Lord Jesus by Pilate when he was crucified. Read in verse 19, and Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross, and the writing was, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. Or as the similar passage in Matthew 27 puts it, this is Jesus, the King of the Jews. Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. Here's a title, an inscription, nailed to the cross, nailed above the Lord's head, lifted up for all to see. It was written in three tongues, Hebrew, Greek, and Latin, that all the world may read and understand, that all may know just who this was who was crucified under it, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. In the three major tongues of the day, all the world could read, all the world could know who this was. It left none with excuse. It was paraded before all men, just who it was who was crucified. This message goes out to the whole world. Here is a man who was crucified, executed, a man that you need to take notice of, an innocent man, a man innocent of all charges, one whom Pilate himself said that he found no fault in him, one whom Pilate himself was ready to release. But the Jews cried out, crucify him, crucify him. And the Jews who should have received this man rejected him. Yes, here is a man who was executed that the world should take notice of. An innocent man, a man rejected. Who was this man? Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. Yes, the title which was read of the Jews outside of the city where Christ was crucified was written in Hebrew and Greek and Latin. Three tongues. Hebrew, the language of the religious, the language of the Jews. Greek, the language of the wise, the philosopher, the scientist, the wisdom of this world. And Latin, the tongue of the Romans, the language of the world power at that time. A threefold testimony which went out to all men, to all the world, that here beneath this superscription was crucified Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. Now this title, this inscription was written. It was written by a Gentile. It was written by Pilate. He heard what Christ had said. And he heard what others had said of him. And he took it upon himself to write an inscription. But the religious, the Jews, who had handed over Christ to Pilate, would not have it. They said, don't write the King of the Jews, but that he said, I am King of the Jews. Don't write that he was the King of the Jews, but that he claimed to be. That he claimed to be. They would not have it as truth. but as a claim. And indeed they crucified him for making such a claim. That was their case against him. They said unto Pilate, who said, I find no fault in this man, they said, but we have a law, and by our law he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God, and he claimed to be the King of the Jews. But we won't have it. We won't have it. And they questioned the truth of what Pilate had written. They made it into just an opinion, a claim, what Christ said of himself. And by such a subtle attack, they entirely discredited everything that he said. You see, they didn't take away the description entirely. They didn't say, take down the superscription. But they simply sought to undermine it. They told Pilate, write not the King of the Jews, but write that I am the King of the Jews. They sought to undermine what Christ said. They sought to make it out to just be his words of himself. And this is typical of the religious. The Jews acted typical of religion even in our day. They don't outright attack the word, but they undermine it. They don't remove it entirely, but they add to it and alter it such that they effectively remove what it says. Much like man today does with the word of God. Man doesn't rip away the word of God entirely, but he alters it and twists it and adds to it and subtracts from it such that it no longer says what it says. They produce their translations with their footnotes and comments to effectively undermine that this is the word of God. And in so doing, they remove its force and they destroy it. Oh, the writings of man. Oh, the inscriptions of men. How subtle man's writing is. He doesn't completely take away the truth, but he alters it. The Jews would leave King of the Jews on the inscription, but they'd add the two words to the front of it, I am the King of the Jews. And cease it from being a statement of truth to a mere claim. And so man does today. He doesn't take away every word from the scriptures, but he adds to it and removes it, removes from it such that it no longer says what it says. Oh, how subtle the writings and the inscriptions of men. Yet this Gentile Pilate, when questioned by the Jews about what he had written on this superscription, answered, what I have written. And despite the opposition of man, despite the opposition of religion, God was sovereign over all. And God's purposes were being wrought out over all. And no man could do, even at that time, even in the crucifixion of God's own Son, no man could alter God's eternal purpose. No man could put a finger against God's Son or do anything at that time, at that hour, but what was purposed by God. And though the Jews would have put a different title above Christ's head, nevertheless, Pilate, a Gentile, a blind dog, as the Jews would have regarded him, a Gentile, Pilate wrote what he wrote. And he wrote what he wrote because God would have it written. God would have the truth written above his Son, and written for all to see and all to read, and for none to be left with excuse. And Pilate said, what I have written, I have written. And God had Pilate write the truth. Earlier in John 18, Pilate asked the question, what is truth? Well, here is truth. Jesus of Nazareth, the king of the Jews. What Pilate wrote was true. But what did he write? What was this inscription? What was this inscription written in Hebrew and Greek and Latin for all to see and all to read? What did it actually say? What did it mean? This inscription was nailed to the cross. It was nailed above the cross, put above Christ's head on the cross. Placed where all could read it. An accusation Pilate fought and the Jews fought against Christ. That under which he was crucified. That claim, the Jews said, for which they crucified him. An accusation nailed to the cross. That which was his condemnation. Much like the handwriting of ordinances which was against us and contrary to us. Contrary to God's people, contrary to those for whom Christ died. Much like that handwriting of ordinances which was nailed to his cross, which condemned them, and which was taken out of the way. Here was another inscription nailed to the cross. But this was not of Christ's people, this was about Christ himself. Nailed to the cross, that which the Jews thought condemned him. That with which they accused him, that with which they crucified him. Yet nevertheless, that which was true. That which was true. And that inscription is so true that should we pass by, should we read it, should we read of it in the scriptures, should we have been there at the time and read of it above his head in our own tongue, whichever tongue that may be, should we pass by and ignore it, that inscription which the Jews fought to condemn Christ with would but condemn us. For that inscription is the truth of who Christ was, the truth of who this one was who was executed beneath its words, beneath its letters. And that inscription we must read. And we ought to believe, for it is the truth, and it is the truth of just who this was, who died beneath its words. For what it says is true. And is it nothing to you, all ye that pass by? Are these words nothing to you? Do you come and read that title? Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. And having read, will you just pass by and go back to your daily routine and your daily ways and forget all about what you read and forget all about that one who was crucified underneath those words? Are they nothing to you? Is it nothing to you that Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews, was executed upon a cross by the Roman soldiers, given up to them by the Jews, slain a brutal death? Is it nothing to you that the King of the Jews was slain? Is this King nothing to you? Or will you look? And will you read? And will you take in this truth? Will God be pleased to open your eyes to see? To open your ears to hear? To open your understanding of just what Pilate had written? Just what is conveyed by this threefold testimony of Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews? For if you will know the truth of this inscription, if you will comprehend its meaning, you must first read it. And if you are to read the inscription nailed above Christ's head, then you must have eyes to read it. You must have understanding to comprehend it. And you must look Not just at the inscription, but on the one who was crucified beneath it. You must look upon the face of the Saviour, upon the face of Christ, who's nailed to the tree beneath the inscription. The one who was nailed with his hands and his feet to that cross, whose head hung beneath those words, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. If you will understand the meaning of these words, you must hear the gospel. And your eyes and your mind must be open to this gospel. But by nature, your understanding is darkened to this gospel. And your eyes are blind to this gospel. And you no more comprehend who was crucified and why he was crucified than you can comprehend or hear the meaning of the inscription. It's just words. It's hid. You're blind to it. As it says in 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 4, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. And if it's hid to you this day, it's hid because you are lost. And you have no comprehension of just what happened and why it happened and to whom it happened. It's nothing to you. And it's nothing to you because you are lost. And you are lost because from the womb you went forth speaking lies. From the womb you went astray as a sheep that went astray. From your birth you went away in the depths of your depravity and sin, a rebel before God, in rebellion against God, at enmity against God, despising the truth of God and his gospel, despising his Son, despising the Saviour, despising that man crucified upon the tree. Yes, you are lost. And the gospel's hid to you because you are lost and you have no thought and no time for it. Because you're lost in sins, dead in sins, dead in trespasses and sins. It's nothing to you. If our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. In whom the God of this world have blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. This is what we need to see. We need to have the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, him who is the image of God, shine unto us. Has that light shone unto you? Have you not just heard the words? But has the light shone unto you? Has it shone into your hearts? Have you comprehended the meaning of the words, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews? For it's him whom we preach, and him whom you must hear and see and comprehend. You must see his light in his gospel in your hearts. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servant for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, have shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Yes, he shone in our hearts. He shone through his gospel. He shone his light out of darkness into our hearts. And he shone that light in to give the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And if you're ever to comprehend the gospel and who Christ is, then you must have the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ shine into your hearts. Oh, may God have mercy upon you this day, and may He shine such light into your hearts out of the face of Jesus Christ. That face which hung upon the tree, that face which had a crown of thorns pressed upon it, from which blood ran down His face, that beaten and that bruised face, that face which was bruised and so marred and ugly that men saw nothing in it, no beauty in it, that in which they might desire. That face of the Son which was bruised and beaten upon the tree. That face of the Son of God, above which Pilate nailed a superscription which read, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. What do you understand of the superscription? Who was this? Who was he? Why was he there? Why did he die? You will only know if God shines light into your heart by this gospel. Oh, look at the superscription. Look to the one who died under its words. Look to that face in which the glory of God shines. May God open your eyes to see who this is. For what does the inscription say? What does it say? Hear this truth. Hear the truth contained therein. That truth which Pilate wrote. That man who knew not truth. That man who cried out, what is truth? Well, he wrote truth here. Hear this truth. Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. This is whom that was crucified. This is the one who Pilate had nailed to the tree, whom the Jews cried out, crucify him, crucify him, away with this man. We will not have this man to reign over us. He just claimed to be our king. We won't have him. Jesus of Nazareth. Who is this Jesus? Who is this Jesus that came from Nazareth? Who is this Jesus? We'll turn to chapter 1 in John. We read something of the coming of this Christ into this world. This one who was the light who came into darkness. We read of him in John and chapter 1. Verse 44 we read, now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. And Philip findeth Nathanael and saith unto him, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said unto him, can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Out of Nazareth, that little town? Philip saith unto him, come and see. And Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and saith of him, behold, an Israelite indeed in whom is no guile. And Nathanael saith unto him, whence knowest thou me? Jesus answered and saith unto him, before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. Nathanael answered and saith unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God. Thou art the King of Israel. Jesus answered and said unto him, because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these. And he saith unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter ye shall see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. Yes, this was who was crucified. Jesus of Nazareth. Of Nazareth. What good thing could come out of Nazareth? Oh, what humble beginnings. Nazareth was a nothing. How could the King of the Jews come from Nazareth? And yet this one, whom Philip had seen, whom he brings to Nathanael. Philip says to Nathanael, just come and see this man. Come and see for yourself. Come and see that he is indeed the one of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did prophesy. This is no ordinary man. We found Jesus of Nazareth. The Messiah has come. The one who was prophesied, who should come, a prophet indeed, who should come in fulfillment of all the types and the figures in our law, who should come, the Messiah, the Saviour, the Redeemer, the one that we've longed for. Come and see, he's come. But from Nazareth? Yes, Nazareth, come and see. And when Nathanael came to him, not only did Nathanael see him, but he came to one who knew Nathanael. One who, though he had never met him, knew him. Before that Philip called thee when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. And Nathanael knew. He knew when he came to the Lord Jesus that this was no ordinary man. That this was not just a man. That this one that knew him, that knew all about him, that knew his name before he was ever introduced. This was not just man. But he said in astonishment, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God. Thou art the King of Israel. And Christ said unto him, you shall see greater things than this. Ye shall see the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man, upon me. Ye shall see heavens opened. Ye shall see the glory of God and the light from heaven shining down upon me. For yes, indeed, Nathanael was right. This Jesus of Nazareth, this man born of Mary and Joseph, this man from a nowhere, from a backwater in Israel, this man that came from Nazareth was not just the Son of Man, but he was indeed the Son of God. And he was indeed, at Nathanael's testimony, the King of Israel. And though the Jews would crucify him at the end and would claim, oh, he just claims. He says he's the Son of God. He says he's the King of Israel. And we have a law that says he's blasphemed, that he should be put to death. Others came and saw. And others with their eyes opened said of themselves, of this one, he is indeed the Son of God. He is indeed the King of Israel. Yes, he's Jesus of Nazareth. This was who was crucified. Jesus, the Son of God, God's only Son, whom he sent into this world, who came into this world of darkness, the Son of God, the living Son, the one who is light, the one who came from him in whom dwells in light inaccessible, the light of God, the eternal God, the perfect righteous Son of God, came into this world, Jesus of Nazareth. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. This was who was crucified. And yet, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. Yet the claim was true. This is Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. Blasphemy, said the Jews. Foolishness, says the Greek. How weak, how pitiful, said the might of Rome. of one outcast who claimed to be the king of a tiny nation in the Middle East. With a threefold testimony, they cast him out. The Jews, the Greeks, the Romans. They read the inscription and then with one voice in unison, they despised this, the King of the Jews. But he whom the world despised, he whom the world in unison cast out, he whom the world mocked and derided, is a king. He is the King of the Jews. And he is the Son of God. And the inscription which Pilate had above his head was true. This is Jesus, the King of the Jews. But what man saw with his blind understanding was that which was but outward. The Jews thought he'd come to rule over them in this world. And the Greeks laughed at his teaching, which they counted foolishness. And the Romans looked upon him as an outcast from Nazareth, of a pitiful little nation which was under their rule at that time. But he never came to be the king of an earthly nation. He never said or meant that he was the king of the earthly Jews. This was their folly and their blindness. He is the King of the Jews, but not on this world. The Israelites were but a figure, but a figure of the true, but a type of the reality, for he is the king of his people, the Jews. He is the king of the spiritual Israel, the spiritual Jews. He is the King of the Jews, but not in this world. Not an earthly nation, but a heavenly nation. Not a nation which will be destroyed when this world is destroyed and when God comes in flaming justice to judge all men according to their deeds. Of this world, when this world is burnt up in fire, when God will judge and separate the sheep from the goats, the precious from the vile, the righteous from the unrighteous. What are the nations of this world but a drop in the bucket? What are the kings of this world but those who will be judged like all other according to their deeds? They're nothing. The kings of this world are nothing and the nations of this world are nothing. But there's a king and a kingdom which is above all. And this one who man crucified and thought they'd done away with is a king of all kings and is the Lord of all lords. He's above every king and every nation. And he who the heathen cast out and despised and rejoiced over is him whom the Lord God Almighty will exalt and has exalted. For he raised him from the dead, and though he was crucified, he rose again, victorious over all. For this is the King of the Jews, the King of his people, of spiritual Israel, of spiritual Zion, a kingdom that shall never end, a kingdom which is unlike any other kingdom, a kingdom which is eternal. This is the king whom they crucified. This is the king of glory that man nailed to a tree. This is he of whom the inscription reads, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. You see, he didn't come for an earthly nation. And he didn't come to die for all the nations of this world. But he came to die for a particular people, his own, a particular people called the Jews, true Jews, those who were of the seed of Abraham, those who were born again from above, those who were born again by the Spirit, those whom God opens their eyes to see who it was who was crucified. This is those for whom he died and none else. He died for his own. He died their king, for those who would reign with him in his kingdom. You see, he is the king of the Jews, but not the earthly Jews whom the world despised, and not an earthly kingdom, and not a mere man from Nazareth, but he who is the King of Kings, a heavenly king of a heavenly kingdom, who having died rose to never die again. As Nathanael said of him, "Thou art the Son of God. Thou art the King of Israel." And he is a victorious king, a mighty king, a king who died and rose again to establish his kingdom, an eternal kingdom, a kingdom which shall never fail, a kingdom which shall never perish, a kingdom which has been built on sure and certain promises, a kingdom which you need to be a citizen of. Is this your king? Is this your saviour? Is this your Jesus? Are you in his kingdom? What do you know of this kingdom which is built on sure and certain promises, which is built on an everlasting covenant? As David wrote, that though it may not be well with his house, he had an everlasting covenant which was sure and certain. Yet God hath made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things and sure. For this is all my salvation and all my desire. Although he make it not to grow upon this earth, yet this covenant and this kingdom is everlasting. This is the covenant which was revealed to David, of a kingdom which was everlasting, and of a king which was of everlasting. Oh yes, a covenant made between God and his Son, and made between God and his people, for whom that Son died, for whom that Son was crucified, for whom that Son was slain. What do you know of this kingdom? What do you know of this covenant? For we've read of an inscription, we've read of writing which man wrote and nailed to the tree. And that writing, though it was true, was written by men. But lastly, I want to tell you something of that inscription and that writing, which is written by the finger of God, which is written by God. Oh, I want to tell you of that writing which comes from God's hand. That writing written by God's finger. A better inscription. For that inscription of Christ is the truth of Christ. But God also takes that truth and he writes it upon the hearts of men. He doesn't just have it nailed to a cross which was taken out of sight, but he takes that truth of Christ, his Son, of who he is and what he did. And he takes that truth of that everlasting covenant he made with his Son to redeem and ransom his people. That covenant of which Christ was the surety, he takes that truth and he writes that covenant. He writes that covenant upon their hearts. Yes, God writes upon the hearts of his people that everlasting covenant which he made known to David, of that everlasting kingdom and that everlasting king whom men slew upon a tree, whom men thought they had crucified, whom men thought they had put away, but who in weakness died to save his people in power, and in victory rose again to bring in an everlasting kingdom of which they are the citizens, of which they are the benefactors, of which they are the recipients, of which they are the recipients of that everlasting covenant. That everlasting covenant which God writes upon their hearts. For he says in Hebrews 8, "This is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts. And I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. And they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord. For all shall know me, from the least to the greatest, for I will be merciful to their unrighteousness. And their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. In that he saith a new covenant, he hath made the first old. Now that which decayeth and waxeth old is ready to vanish away." Oh yes, God has a covenant that he writes upon the hearts of his people. That he writes upon the hearts of those who were brought to believe, of those who were brought to see the inscription above Christ's head, of those who were brought to see the Saviour, of those who were brought to see the light shining from his face, of those who were brought to know just who it was who died upon that tree, and why he died, that he died for them, and he died for their sins. And he shed his blood to wash their sins away, that they may no longer be dead in trespasses and sins, but that they might be washed in his own blood, that they might be made righteous by the blood of the Lamb. This is the people who come to see. This is the people whom God gives faith to see the Saviour, to see Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. These are those who are born again by the Spirit to hear and to see the gospel and to see Christ in the gospel. For ye must be born again. And when the gospel is preached, the Spirit will cause those whom God has purposed to save to be born again and to hear. Have you heard? Have you heard? Has God written these laws upon your heart? Has he written these words in your heart? Has he written the law of faith in your heart? The law of love in your heart? The law of liberty in your heart? Has he written the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus in your heart? Has he written his everlasting covenant in your heart? Has he written the name of Jesus of Nazareth in your heart? Has he written, "This is my King, this is your King, the King of Israel, the King of the Jews," in your heart? For this is what God writes in his inscription in the hearts of his people. And he has something else to say of his people. For he not only writes in their hearts and upon their hearts, but he's written upon his own heart. He has their names, child of God, if you're his, he has your name written upon his own heart. For we read in the Old Testament of Aaron, the high priest, who had 12 jewels upon his breastplate, 12 stones, and upon these stones were written the names of the 12 tribes of Israel, the 12 tribes. He had upon his heart, on his breastplate, the names of the Israelites, the names of the Jews. And our King, our Saviour, our great High Priest, the Lord Jesus, has upon his breastplate the names of his tribes, the names of the 12 tribes of Israel, the names of his people, the names of his people. Child of God, he has your name written upon his breastplate. Inscribed upon his breastplate. Oh yes, that's his love for his own. That's his love. What nearness to his heart. How close his people are to his heart. Do you realize how close his people are to him? What love he has for them. For he's not only written upon their hearts, but he has their names written upon his own. He has their names written upon his own. Who has their names written upon his heart? We read in verse 16 of Revelation 19 just whose heart the names of his people are written on. He who has a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. This king has the names of his people on his own heart. Do you know this king? Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. Have you heard him? Have you heard his voice? Have you heard the Spirit's voice in the gospel testifying of this one who was crucified for sinners? Crucified for sinners. Have you heard his voice? Has God written upon your heart? Have you heard the voice of him speaking to your heart? Have you heard the voice come into your heart and say, this is Jesus, the King of the Jews. This is Jesus, the King of the Jews.